Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, Wild Souls, and welcome back to the podcast. It's always a joy to connect and be gathered with all of you, but it is an extra special joy to gather with all of y'all for our monthly medicine episodes. And you know, I will say that I've been doing this podcast for many years. There is something always about the June monthly medicines. I feel like June is kind of always a rather big month, which sounds odd to say because there are obviously big months and quiet months, and it doesn't, but there's something about, this point on the wheel of the year, just something about it. I do believe it has something to do with being in Gemini season and preparing to go into Cancer season, and the solstice, and like moving from, you know, mutable air to cardinal water and a completely new seasonal spiral that we're going into. We really move through four in the year, spring, summer, winter, fall, and we move into what I term the kind of water cycle of the year on the first day of Cancer season, which happens on June 21st on the solstice. So it's really powerful to sense into this month. There's always a lot of swirliness with it. And the message that wanted to come through for this monthly medicine, I'll say, is a pretty complex piece of music intuitively and reading wise. And so I'm going to do my best to really simplify it, but I just wanted to be really transparent about that, that there does seem to be a lot of moving parts to the orchestra for this month. And I think that might be good for us to hold to anyway. I think probably the one thing to really know about June is there's nothing really heavy duty astrologically speaking, like nothing major. And yet there's a lot of different moving pieces. And I think if we can sort of remember that there are a lot of different parts of the orchestra playing at once, it may really help us to sort of honor and bow to what this time is bringing. So for whatever that's worth. And just quickly, like a teeny bit of business just to get out of the way now. I'm really pumped to share that my seasonal offering, Spiralic Tarot, is open for enrollment now. It's the download for this water cycle of the year. It's essentially channeled downloads for each of the astrological seasons from Cancer season to the end of Virgo season. And then we'll do a new one in at the start of Libra season, which is cardinal air. Spiralic Tarot offers folks tarot scopes, again, channel downloads on their seasons ahead, a big channel download on sort of this time, different anchor cards to work with this time. So it's a beautiful way to, one, go a little bit deeper into the channeled medicine for the next couple of seasons ahead, and two, to refine your knowledge of the cards as it pertains to the wheel of the year, because working with the cards in conjunction with that is honestly, in my humble opinion, like the absolute best and greatest way to learn them. No question. So the material for all of that will be dropping, I believe, on either June, I should know this, but I think it's June 20th in time for the solstice. So yeah, enrollment's open now. It'll be open until June 19th. And I will say that there's going to be a kind of like newsletter only, like I think teeny little early bird for it, running from June 5th to the 9th. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can sign up for the newsletter. If you are, you can keep an ear out. It really is a very small early bird, but I know for a lot of folks, every little bit counts. So yeah, I'm excited to dive into that. Just wanted to bring it up as we were talking about sort of the upcoming seasonal spiral and the solstice. And I think this particular issue of spiralic tarot will be a little bit more fleshed out because we are talking about the midway point of the year. And that really does bring up, and I'll probably touch onto this on the podcast as well, that that really does bring up a lot about like our work with the Chariot, which has been absolutely hair-raising, in my opinion, this year. And I mentioned the Chariot in case you don't know that 2023 is what we call a Chariot year. If we're looking at like card of the year, birth card constellations, card constellations, and we get that very simply by adding up 2 + 0 + 2 + 3, which is 7. And 7 is Chariot's number. So that's why we're looking to it. So there's a lot to say. And if you want to sign up for that, you can do so by going to the link in the show notes. And the other piece of business as well that is important is that there is no podcast episode next Monday, June 5th, because I am going away to see family and I will not be here. So I also didn't want to do a monthly medicine or because of where this is landing, it would be a very awkward amount of time between this and like next week. So we'll still actually have 4 episodes go live in June. It just won't be on the week of June 5th. So we'll pick up that next Monday. Okay. So that's all my business for real. Okay. So the theme for June 2023 is breaking away. And I'll be honest with you, June is likely to be rumbly. Collectively and personally, it is likely to be a bit rumbly. That doesn't mean that we can't hold our center. That doesn't mean that everything's like coming apart, not at all. But rumbly is a great term. And when things rumble, our nervous systems can feel very activated, right? Like our survival stuff can get kicked up. So it is very important, probably the most important thing about June is that as best as you can, as best as you're able, that you have a very wide range of those support systems in place. Even if it's your own internal practices, like if there aren't a lot of people for you to interface with and dialogue with, you know, that's okay. But kind of feeling that support, having like clear reminders around you, I think is going to be really important. In the month of June, we are effectively breaking away from a lot of threads that some of them, unbeknownst to us, are keeping us somewhat trapped and bound. So I want to be really clear here. That doesn't mean I'm not talking about specific people. I'm not talking about specific relationships. I'm not talking about specific dyads or collaborations, although that could be a part of your realization that you're in a collaboration or in a work environment where you are just absolutely not respected. You're not growing. You're not evolving. You've accepted a certain way of living that has really outserved its usefulness. And that might be true, but the sense I'm getting is that this is a very big systemic change. This is a very big collective change. So rather than having to do with specific people or situations, because it could pertain to that breaking away process, absolutely. But more than that, it has to do, Gemini energy and by virtue lovers is about threading a needle from us to the outside of us, to the outside of us. It's the internal to the external, the internal to the external. We're social creatures. We have impact on one another, right? So there are a lot of threads here. It's a very complex tapestry around what we have felt over the course of many years that we had to do or had to keep up with or had to, and a lot of those things are ready to be broken away from. A lot of those old stories about what we've been doing or like limited only to our imagination, everything wants to get much bigger. Everything wants to get much wider. There is a lot more capacity, a lot more spaciousness, dilation that wants to happen around us, but it can only happen if we're willing to actually cut some cords this month. And trust me when I say, you will know the cords that are ready to cut. Most likely, because there will be some part of you, some part of us that will be fighting and resisting it. Because we may be still operating under the belief that without this particular system, this particular relationship, this particular contact, this particular offering, whatever it is, what would we have? What would we do, right? Am I saying to, you know, I never want to, you know, even imply like move beyond the bounds of what would be fiscally or you know, responsible in any spectrum, right? There are times where we feel finished with something, but we quite literally can't leave it, you know? That's like, this month isn't about like sacrificing those things for the need to break away. This breakaway has to do with an ending that has needed to happen for a long time, longer than we may have perspective on at this moment. So put very simply, we're moving away from things that don't serve, but it's bigger and vaster than I can even begin to explain to you. And I don't know what that means as I sit here recording this, because again, I don't know what that looks like for all of us in terms of the landscape of June. It could be that for you, June is very quietly transformative and powerful, that you are still on sturdy ground, still in every single, you know, receiving from every single bucket of support. But internally, it feels really rumbly. That might be how it's felt for all of us. My sense is that this is probably some collective rumbling as well as personal rumbling. It's very, very big. And part of that, I must, and I've been really getting like deeply tapped, knocked on the shoulder by spirit to talk about this a bit more. Some of this, we do have to circle back to the fact that this is a chariot year. So there are years in which, like, I think lover's year is an example of this. I circled back to lover's year a few times over the course of it and really kind of linked into or rooted back into that even, and lover's year was 2022. And I did occasionally, I would go back to lovers like months after January and be like, hey, you know, it's important to look at this, important to think about this. The chariot of it all is something that we cannot underestimate. And if you go back to my interview with Jessica Lignato, which happened at the end of 2022, we both really talked about how 2023 is hella swirly. We are in chariots ruled by Cancer, baby. Cancer's cardinal water. It's connected to the moon. There are phases and changes and swirls and ebbs and tidal pulls and tidal withdrawals and, you know, rising tide and falling tide. And that is the medicine of it. That is the way of it. So we are really, and we are in a time where things seem to be, nothing is really sticking. Everything is kind of swirling around and changing all the time. That is a part of Chariot. And that is also a part of, you know, if we look at the process of labor, no matter how birth is manifested or exacted, like whether we, have a C-section or a belly birth, whether they're, you know, it's a vaginal birth, whether we want to term it differently, whether there's a completely different energy of birth happening that has nothing to do with childbirth, labor is spiralic, right? Pushing is spiralic. Making our way down the birth canal is spiralic. Moving through a C-section seems linear and is very spiralic. There are lots of spiralic parts to labor. And if we're, you know, pivoting it out of the paradigm of like giving birth, which has all kinds of different ways of manifesting itself, there's a lot of stopping and starting. There are phases to it, not literally stopping, but like there's ebbs and flows. There's rests between those contractions. I cannot literally emphasize enough that the Chariot is the manifestation of getting squeezed through that birth canal. We are leaving that womb space and entering into a different world. We're moving out of line one. We're moving out of that line of identity and in a way, egoic foundations. We're moving out of a space of things being kind of status quo and everything. It lines up very powerfully with Pluto and Aquarius, you know, very powerfully with moving out of Pluto and Capricorn. We dip into Pluto and Capricorn for a little bit and then move back into Pluto and Aquarius officially for 20 plus years. It's the start of a different generation and a different time, for better or worse. And breaking away from the things that were cultivated within this space that we're getting birthed out of is a part of the burn and the medicine of June. There is a lot of clearing that's going to be happening in June. And in that, we have to honor the grief that comes with that. We must honor the grief. Whether we consciously understand what we're grieving or we don't. It takes tremendous courage to break away. Sometimes it takes everything we have to break away, to let go of what is known and comfortable, maybe even safe. Because the truth is, in the Chariot card, in Chariot years, we do not know where we're going. The Charioteer in the Chariot card looks so robust. Everything looks really, really good. It's just a vehicle that is absolutely not going to be serving us in the direction that we're going, in the journey, in the next phase or step of where we're headed to. And we need time to be able to sense into what that new kind of frontier looks like, for lack of a better word. So breaking away, honoring the grief that comes with what's falling as we transition from Chariot to Strength, that's only going to intensify over the next 6 months as we continue this journey through Chariot leading to Strength. In 2024 will be a Strength year. And that's going to come with its own stuff. Strength is Leo, baby. Strength is fixed fire. It is a completely different, it's clear-sighted action. And it's a lot of heart and it's a lot of honoring of what feels uncomfortable and a lot of Is it a breaking away, breaking open, and really coming to a space where we're serving, living, loving in a completely different way? So June does to me feel like a tidal shift in ways that, again, might be very quiet and they might be very overt, right? We're crossing a line in June that we can't necessarily come back from, a line that is, I believe, in some ways probably necessary, and that will be really important as we navigate these changes, you know, to have, again, a lot of support around us, right? The most important thing that seems to be coming through around this is to remember that we're moving to someplace far more supportive in the long term, inside of the particulars of this breaking away process, something that is in time, with time, far more collectively nurturing, far more personally medicinal, way more helpful and resonant, appropriate, you know, for us going forward. So it's a big, big leap. And inside of that leap, inside of that breakaway, we are really called to move into a different space of oneness and of connectedness with ourselves, with each other, and an embracing of the unknown, because we truly are moving into some very uncharted territory, you know, all of which I really believe is far more supportive than what we've been kind of waiting and playing in for the last several years, decades, 100 years. Okay, here's the actual card reading for the month ahead. So the card for the month ahead is 8 of Cups kind of crossed with 3 of Swords. So what this tells us is, I'll explain that I was given several cards, which are a part of this batch, that were very strange altogether, musically. And I sat with them for a very long time. And then other cards came forward and seemed to want to sing in harmony with the cards that were pulled previously. And then that started to create a fuller picture. So like I said, there's many different instruments happening here, which is a great, honestly, like living out of the power of Gemini. I said, like, there's a lot of different dimensionalities and holographicnesses about this time and about this reading. So just bear with me as I navigate it. So our cards for the month ahead, we're working with 8 of Cups and 3 of Swords. So at the base, at the root, at like the tip of the roots, we are working through our own grief, our own wounds, our own stories about this breakaway. We will absolutely be invited into blaming others, blaming ourselves, feeling like we're failures, feeling like we're successful, feeling like this breakaway is the best thing that's ever happened, feeling like it's the worst thing that's ever happened. We have to just acknowledge that is the way of it. That's the part of the transition phase of labor. We are like, this labor is never going to end. Oh my God. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. We literally forget we're on our way to like a baby. We forget that we're on our way to a new world. And it just seems never ending. So with that being said, it is incredibly important. 3 of Swords can be an ally to us as we leave behind those 8 Cups. 8 of Cups is a transformational card. We start it one way, we leave it another way. At the end of June, whether subtle, whether overt, we're going to be in a different time. We are in some area of our life that is significant. It might not be our entire life, but relationally, work-wise, creatively, we will be charting a different course. The winds will have shifted and our sails will have shifted accordingly. Three of Swords can keep us centered while those rumbles are happening. Three of Swords helps us to come back to the heart. It helps to get us off the Ferris wheel, the merry-go-round of blaming others, blaming ourselves, like moving here and moving there. All those feelings are valid, but they are us getting kind of swept into the waves and getting like just really caught in those waves, like you know, and identifying with them and just really swirling around in all of the things. When what we really want to be doing, where we really want to be kind of pointing ourselves, is to this place of willingness to come back to the heart, willingness to stay very, very close to our practices, willingness to call upon whatever support we need, any support, reminders that we leave ourselves on fucking post-it notes, you know, of the truth of this time, like that we have truly everything we need to move through this. If we don't, we can call upon and ask for what we need. It's not automatically always given, but we can put, at least put feelers out, right? We can leave ourselves notes that we sort of wish would come from others. There are accessible ways of working with this. Staying tethered to the heart space and honoring. So if we find ourselves blaming others, blaming ourselves, feeling horrible, feeling good, feeling like just really swirling around. Rather than getting caught in the swirl, we might practice this month saying, I am really in the swirl. And because I am moving through such a profoundly transformative time, whether I understand the fullness of that transformation or not, I am going to stay rooted in the heart. And when I touch him with the heart, I can sense there's fear. I can sense that there's the squeeze of regret. I can sense that there's a part of me longing to be loved and told that everything's going to be okay. I can sense that there's a part of me longing to have a parental figure tell me everything's going to be okay. Like whatever comes up, we want to just really be in witness to that and honoring of that. Moving through Eight of Cups brings up the same stuff in many ways that Three of Swords does. It brings up that feeling of like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, how could I ever let go of these Eight Cups? Like, I've worked for these Eight Cups. I've bled for these Eight Cups. What the fuck? Like, there's a lot of fear there, and yet the Eight Cups aren't bad. They're not a problem. They've just served the purpose that they've served. It's done. It's complete. And now we're ready for something different. And inside of the bigness of that breakaway process, it is very important to, again, keep coming back to the heart. Keep noticing where we might be swirling in and out of blame or guilt or shame or regret Those feelings are going to arise, but it doesn't mean they're the truth. They just want to be tended to. They want to be held, supported, and nurtured. So there's that piece. Those are the main core pieces of this month. And by the way, we never go through. Remember what comes after Eight of Cups? There's Nine of Cups, the nurturing of a new dream. Getting our hopes up, like planting a seed and having it grow, it would only be possible with this space that's getting cleared. And then 10 of Cups, you know, which is the ability, the spaciousness to sense into and be one with the joy and the beauty, regardless of what's going on. And then we have our journey in the Cups court cards, right? So that's the core piece of this month, is our work in Eight of Cups and Three of Swords. What we're learning about this month is death crossed with King of Wands. So we are being called to King of Wands, which is, I believe, an invitation for each of us in our own personal way to expand in some way to a space of aligned leadership and aligned life that feels far more personally resonant. So King of Wands shows us a dimension of a life that is, you know, we're all of service in our own ways. When we are working with King of Wands, it means that we have the courage to really blaze a trail in a way that we want to and in a way that feels good. Now, here's the thing. What feels good to you might not feel good to me and vice versa, right? If, and obviously there's a lot of privilege inherent with that because not all of us are available to like do what feels good, right? King of Wands is about finding more balance and finding more joy and reaching for the things that feel more personally resonant for us where it might be accessible to do so. So that is what we're learning about, how King of Wands is singing to us. Because if we're working, and I am sorry for anybody who's in this position, but if we're working like a million jobs and just barely making ends meet, King of Wands is just going to feel like, okay, well, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do with that. So if you are in a season where things feel really tight and where there's just a lot of work to make ends meet, I believe that King of Wands absolutely can follow us and work with us through any kind of situation. We just get to think about, well, how does that card in particular sing to me? How can I reclaim and move closer to my joy in a way that doesn't feel like more labor, in a way that doesn't feel false, in a way that doesn't take away from like the fear or the worry or the crunch or the stress, that honors all of it in full totality, but also draws us closer to like, if gardening is an act of resilience and nourishment and like, you know, choosing to go out and garden and choosing to get closer to that. And if there's something else that feels really nourishing, sometimes it can be hard when we're fucking exhausted to choose the thing that feels nourishing. And sometimes we put pressure on ourselves to choose like the right thing when we're exhausted. And I really think that King of Wands says, choose the thing that feels really pleasurable and nurturing that doesn't feel like a drag, you know? We're moving closer to a different way of celebrating and embodying that leadership, where our skills are all going to be kind of in time utilized for something very like or more expansive. And that doesn't have to look like more work or more stress or more time or more people or wider audience or whatever that means, more students, whatever. It means that we're moving closer to a life that feels more personally nurturing, even if that is very small bits, very small bites, you know, accessible. But again, that happens because of the work we're doing in the death card. So the death card is a clearing away of parts of our garden that have outserved their usefulness. We just had to do this in my own on the property that we rent and live on. We planted lots of new things a couple weeks ago, and there was this really sad plant that I think had been planted by the owners in probably the wrong place. It's just getting way too much sun. And we had to make the decision after many, many years and cycles of seeing this plant kind of suffer. We made the decision to pull it out and thank it and give it back to the forested part of the land that we rent, and replanted something that we were pretty certain and seems so far to be really nurtured by all that sun. And it made me think of death, because it's not that there was anything wrong with that plant. I really loved that plant that got planted there. It was planted in at a time and in a place that was no longer of service, both to that area of soil and to the plant itself. And sometimes I think we, like in my experiences with like moving through death card cycles with my courses, there's nothing wrong with the course. It's just the, it sometimes certain courses, certain offerings outserve their usefulness. And we don't always completely understand why, but it's not because there's anything wrong with that offering, right? So it goes back to this piece around Eight of Cups that has to do with there being nothing wrong with the Eight Cups. They've just outserved what they've brought to us, right? And so what we're learning about is how to surrender to and trust this death card process, how to move through this time of breaking away and turnover and transition with grace, with trust, how to hold ourselves through this time of tumult and change, right? Like these deep, deep places that are going to be crucially important, so important. We're essentially doing the thing that is very brave and true of heart in order to move to sort of a different way of being of service in our lives, one that feels like way more authentically our way, and more authentic rhythm in certain ways and ways that feel accessible and that are accessible. But the lesson is working with death in order to do that. What we're being invited to pay attention to, essentially in order to support these processes, are Three of Cups crossed with Four of Swords. So Three of Cups has to do with drawing really, really close to nurturing, loving community, whether that be community that we are friendly with or invisible community, as in our spirit helpers. I think it could also encompass, you know, processors and coaches and people that we work with, people who have our back, right? And we gather together Three of Cups style to get closer to those people, to retreat, to commune, to get closer to. So in the midst of all of this heavy duty work and these invitations, you know, that are coming up that may actually wind up feeling quite subtle to some of us or not so impactful, we want to stay really close to the joys of and the witnessing of supportive community. And the other thing that we want to keep a very close eye on is overthinking. So with love, because I love and appreciate Gemini energy, but with respect to Gemini energy, it's very easy to say things, and I'm not talking about Geminis. I'm talking about Gemini energy ruled by Mercury, connected to magician, where the medicine of those energies are like, let it out, let it out, let it out. It's not necessarily for prime time. It's not necessarily for everyone. Let's just let it out and let it move forward, right? We just want to be mindful about what we're saying, and we want to be mindful to not let the mind spiral into all kinds of different places. Just if we can be very present, that will be tremendously helpful. And that is where Four of Swords reversed comes in. Anytime we're moving through this card, we want to kind of toggle between two things. One is that if we find ourselves overwhelmed, in need of a mental break, and we're really resisting taking that break, then we want to look at that. And sometimes Four of Swords can come up as that clarification, like, hey, you know, there's stuff to look at here, you know, to be sure. Number two, the biggest thing that we want to look at with this is also, where are we leaving behind old patterns of mental stress and worrying? What are some of the, like, I'll say for myself personally, it sometimes takes me longer than maybe other people I know to realize that it's not me. The situation just isn't right for me. It's not like personal. I don't need to do better. I don't need to get strong. I felt that way a lot of the time with, at least in this, you know, in this particular season of my life, who knows, but with the group aspect of my courses, like they always felt, a little bit hard to hold. It had nothing to do with the students. Students were lovely, really hard to hold. And I'd hire more people and I'd take seminars and I'd work on like my own resilience. And it was impossible. And it took me a long time to realize that it's just not where my strength lies. And it's not the space I feel passionate about holding. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. It's great, in fact. So, you know, I know some folks felt disappointed about it. I think other folks felt relieved, you know, like groups aren't for everybody, like community spaces, you know. So sometimes it can take a while for us to realize that we might be making our life a tiny bit harder by trying to push or force or make certain things happen when they just have outserved, right, their usefulness. So that's the other space that we want to be looking at with Four of Swords reversed, is sort of where can we let go, where we might be have been holding on a little tightly. What we're getting closer to this month is Seven of Wands reversed cross with the Hanged One reversed, or the Tethered One reversed. Okay, so anytime we're working with Tethered One reversed, it's about resistance. And so that doesn't mean, this card being here doesn't mean we're getting closer to resistance around surrender. I think it means that we are getting a little closer to getting some information about why we have been resistant. Because I think all of us have been working in this. I know that a lot of folks have felt a little bit stuck, like a tremendous amount of people that I've been serving through readings or have been talking to as friends or as colleagues, even kind of like folks in my own personal orbit, there is a sense of like treading water or waiting for something to happen or thinking that something's going to happen, then it's not happening. It's a very strange, again, swirly time. And that's sort of the medicine of Chariot is, and also the Tethered One. So there's something about it all getting cleared away, it all getting moved, it all getting processed and getting more information about why we've been resistant to that. And typically it is that change is really hard, surrendering to what's here is really hard, so we can resist that. So what we're moving closer to is just more information about why, to kind of honor Michelle, who, you know, is one of my very beloved teachers. The thing about understanding times of great expansion, and make no mistake, we are in one, is that we have typically a pretty strong response to expansion by contracting, and it echoes labor. Like we're quite literally, contractions literally are dilating us. So that is also what is happening here. Now Seven of Wands reversed has to do with the dropping of armor. It has to do with recognizing again, places that we've been a little bit walled up, that we've been a little unwilling to be soft, where we've been a little unwilling to kind of consider things. It's a dropping of armor. So, which is a liberation. June in many ways is a liberation from a very old, difficult cycle of trying to make shit work when it just does not work anymore. And from there, we will really be free to expand into what wants our attention, into the King of Wandsness that wants to really move through us. So we're coming closer to more information about where we resist and a clearing away of an armoring that has maybe not been serving us in the best way that it could be. And finally, what we're moving away from is Five of Pentacles crossed with Two of Pentacles. So the Two of Pentacles of it all, I will be honest with you, I paused on longer than any of them because sometimes it can be tricky to really understand the specifics of why a certain card wants to come away from us or why we're cycling out of a certain card or, you know, what particulars or what specifics might we need to know. Sometimes it's a great thing. Sometimes it's challenging. And I get a lot of questions about that. Like, why would we want to get rid of a card like Two of Pentacles? So we're not getting rid of anything. What I got was that Two of Pentacles is about refining and about filtering and about clarifying for ourselves what's important and centering in on that. And what I'm getting is that we're being invited to widen the gaze a bit, widen the lens, not from a perspective of overwhelm. All I can say, and the strongest thing that came through, is that we are getting the opportunity to expand into something bigger. And it can often feel inside of that process like everything's going to hell or we're losing everything. We don't even know what we're doing. But we are actually expanding from this place. So we're being called to think a little bigger. So if we think about Two of Pentacles and what we're moving away from, we can think about like, oh, you know, in the symbolic perspective of like what I've been holding in my container, it's been, you know, these 10 things. Obviously, I know for all of us, it's way more than 10 things, but let's just say what I'm getting is that we're being called to think a little bigger about how we're holding them, when we're holding them. Like, are we holding them with other people? Is there a totally different, like, thinking bigger doesn't mean getting more complicated, more expensive. It just means bigger. We've been a little, I don't think everybody, but I think the gaze and the lens has been very tight. And so there's something about everything widening out and more things coming in that doesn't feel overwhelming to me. It just feels like an expansion of where we've been. And then the moving away from Five of Pentacles, what I'm getting about that is clear and twofold. One is that there's been something, again, like what we were just talking about, the tightness of the lens, the tightness of what's possible that's blooming open a bit. The other thing about Five of Pentacles that I think is quite important is that I do think Five of Pentacles is kind of a quietly radical card as it pertains to like the especially if we're talking about the Smith Rider Waite, the money in these gorgeous, fancy religious buildings, temples, churches, you know, cathedrals, and yet there are unhoused folks in the cold that aren't able to right outside of them. You know, like there's something that I believe Pamela Coleman-Smith was saying very clearly about inequity and about the contradictions and the incredibly unjust paradox between these institutions that are supposed to be, if we're talking about Christianity or Catholicism, like Christ-like, helping one another, that are just absolutely not there, you know. But there's another piece that I think is present in the soul of the card that is coming through for our reading for June that is reflected in Tarot of the Holy Spectrum's artwork that is also present in a really strong tenet of Soul Tarot that has to do with, well, one, I think, moving ever closer to the smashing of some of those systemic inequities in our attempt and in our collective attempts to, for some of us, to build a new world together and one that is far more supportive for all of us collectively. But I think another piece of how this card in particular, in terms of what we're moving away from, is this is a great card, honestly, in theory, to move away from, because it has to do with that experience of tightness, not seeing options, not seeing more, because we're panicked, right? We're usually very tight. We don't have a whole lot of options. That's a really big hallmark of a Five of Pentacles moment or feeling or season. Not that feelings are associated with cards, but very often stuff is, the lens is very tight and we're focused only on like the thing in front of me isn't working and I don't know what to do, or what if it doesn't. It can come up a lot of the time around our basic needs not being met. So moving away from that is obviously beautiful and would be beautiful if it was way more expansively and collectively distributed. But for us personally, there is something about this that has to do with, and this is what I was going toward with the Tarot of the Holy Spectrum image, is that what we're looking for is there. It's just not where we have our gaze trained. So seeing things in fresh and new perspectives, getting outside viewpoints, getting like will be a part of June. And what we're moving away from is, again, the way that things have been done. We're moving away from what's been done, what we know to do, and we're opening to something way bigger. I love Five of Pentacles. I love Two of Pentacles. I appreciate both of them. Both of them are very different, but they do have to do with a tighter lens on, like on a close up. And we need a way bigger, wide lens on what we're doing here. So that's where we're moving toward, is just a wider lens. And so we're moving away from that sort of tight view and we're blooming open and seeing things way more expansively. So good Lord, that was so long. Oh my God, so long. But sometimes these can be lengthy. Yeah. And that's, you know, kind of what I have for you today. Typically, I answer a listener question, but because of the length of this week's episode, I don't think I'm going to do that this week. I'll pick up on that when we come back to episodes after our off week, on the week of June 5th. But yeah, just really, really take beautiful, nourishing, helpful care of yourself. Please, because this month is, I mean, it's no joke. We will, I do believe, at the end of June, feel different. Maybe not sure where we're going or, you know, but it's a very big cycle. And so take good care, keep coming back to Three of Swords, keep coming back to the heart, keep coming back to self-tending, keep coming back to remembering, reminding yourself through this recording, through like reflecting back on some of the anchor cards that we pulled. All of them have to do with the hard and necessary work of clearing away something that has served its usefulness in order to move into a way more expansive option, a way more sustainable and supportive future. Remember, we are at the midway point of our work in the Chariot year. The only thing, the main thing that the Chariot cares about is what is going to sustain you. What is going to help you move through the wild forest of the Line 2 cards? What cannot come with you? What looks good but actually is dead? You know, like what's got to come down? That's all Chariot. And the Chariot card marks the end of Line 1 and it's the start in the major arcana flow of it's the beginning of the end of the ego driving the car and making the decisions. And ego fights hard, brain fights hard. So we have to respect that as a part of it, but it's not necessarily the truth. Our worry and our beliefs and our fears about how everything's going to shit and like all of this, you know, if we have those feelings, we may not. It's not necessarily true. It may in fact be the beginning of a whole new cycle in our lives, one that is way more supportive for us. So thank you for being on this journey with me, Wild Souls. It is an honor and a privilege. to tune in with these collective themes with you. I hope that this is helpful. I hope it's resonant. And I wish you a good supportive month as you travel through some of these huge pieces. And until we connect again, not next week or in a little bit less than a week, but about a week and a half, please take exquisite care of yourselves. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees, podcast art by Rochelle Sartini Gardner, and this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotofthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together, but you can find it all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.